Thank you. My name is Volker Menz, and I would like to welcome you to our conference call on the fourth quarter result. And yesterday we already published the quarterly short report for the fourth quarter 2019, which also includes the final figures for 2019. So let's start with the agenda of the call. With the highlights of the fourth quarter 2019 and a market overview, our main part will be on the financial performance, and I will conclude with a summary and outlook on ProCroup's operations with the chance for further questions on our current performance after that. On page 5, we have the highlights of the fourth quarter of 2019 with the general market conditions in the fourth quarter, which were supported by the seasonally strong demand and therefore a high capacity utilization until the Christmas break. We continued with our organic volume growth. The growth rate in our corrugated board operations amounted to 8.9% compared to the same quarter last year. In our containerboard operations, we achieved a volume growth of 7.8% in the fourth quarter. As expected, the price normalizations had again an impact on our sales. The increasing sales volume in corrugated board could only partly offset the declining prices over the last 12 months and the lower external containerboard sales volume. As a consequence, sales decreased by 12.9% compared to the fourth quarter of 2018. Total sales amounted to €206 million in the fourth quarter of 2019. Compared to the third quarter of 2019, the sales price reductions were compensated by lower recycled paper prices. That means that our gross margin remained approximately on the same level. We achieved an EBITDA of approximately €60 million in the fourth quarter of 2019, following the normalization of prices and gross margins. This is 18.5% below the prior year fourth quarter result. Despite the drop in EBITDA, we achieved an excellent EBITDA margin of 29%. This is again well above the five-year average. The net financial debt at the end of the fourth quarter of 2019 increased to €671 million after €624 million at the end of the third quarter of 2019 and €530 million at the year-end 2018. This increase was expected and is related to the CapEx spending for our growth projects, especially the new paper machine PM3. The higher net financial debt and the lower last 12 months EBITDA increased the net leverage to 3. For comparison, the net leverage was 1.9 at the end of the fourth quarter of 2018 and 2.6 at the end of the third quarter of 2019. Therefore, the net leverage is again within our long-term target range. On page 6, you see the market development which was in the fourth quarter driven by a strong demand in corrugated board, which is typical for the fourth quarter and the pre-Christmas season. The favorable market development also continued at the beginning of 2020. Besides the seasonally strong demand, the mega trends like e-commerce and the substitution of plastic-based packaging to paper-based packaging are supporting the demand for corrugated board. As in the previous quarters, we saw again price reductions for our products. However, the strong demand led to only moderate rate of -2% for corrugated board and -4% for container board compared to the average price level of the third quarter of 2019. The comparably moderate increase of stock levels of container board at the year end and the robust demand for container board at the beginning of this year led to announcements for price increases by most major containerboard producers at the beginning of this year. The prices for our raw material, recycled paper, dropped significantly by 19% in the fourth quarter last year due to the structurally oversupply situation. This price reduction compensated the reduction of our sales prices. The oversupply situation of recycled paper did not change significantly at the beginning of 2020, which means that the price pressure for recycled paper persists at the beginning of this year. Let's move to page 8. The total containerboard sales volume was 267,000 tons in the fourth quarter of 2019, the same amount as the third quarter sales volume. Given our current capacities in containerboard with our two paper machines, this sales volume is at the upper end of the quarterly quantities. As in the previous quarters, the strong internal demand for containerboard reduced the available volumes for external containerboard sales. Therefore, the external sales volume of the fourth quarter dropped by 6,000 tons compared to the third quarter. The integration level consolidated on a high level of 88% without swap volumes, or 95% if we include the swap volume. Compared to the sales volume of containerboard in the fourth quarter of 2018, we recognized an increase of 7.8%. In the entire year 2019, we achieved a volume growth of 7% based on an even stronger internal demand growth. As a consequence, we had less containerboard available for external sales. On page 9, you can see the strong corrugated board volume development. The sales volume of corrugated board in the fourth quarter of 2019 was 25,000 tons higher compared to the fourth quarter of 2018. This represents a growth rate of 8.9%, which is well above the market growth. On a quarterly basis, the fourth quarter sales volume was marginally lower than the third quarter sales volume. The quarterly sales volume remained on a similar level than the first three quarters, despite a lower number of working days due to the Christmas break. The volume growth in 2019 was 7.1%. This is below the double-digit growth rate of the prior year. However, the market development was also well below the previous year's growth rate. That means we achieved again a considerable outperformance of the market. On page 10, you can see the quarterly and cumulative sales development. Sales declined by approximately 30.5 million euro in the fourth quarter of 2019 compared to the fourth quarter of 2018. The decrease is primarily based on lower sales prices and the lower external sales volume of containerboard. The positive effect from the higher corrugated board sales volume could only partly offset these effects. As a result, the fourth quarter sales reached 206 million euro. The cumulative sales of the full year 2019 were 887 million euro. This is 8.2% lower than 2018. On page 11, we have the sales bridge from the fourth quarter of 2018 to the fourth quarter of 2019. The volume effect of 16.5 million euro reflects the increase in corrugated board sales volume by 25,000 tons. That was partly offset by a decrease of the external containerboard sales volume of 4,000 tons. The price effect of minus 43 million euro is based on approximately 17% lower average sales prices for corrugated board and 30% lower sales prices for containerboard compared to the fourth quarter of 2018. Total sales declined by approximately 12.9% in the fourth quarter of 2019 versus the same quarter of 2018. On page 12, we present the sales bridge from the third quarter of 2019 to the fourth quarter of 2019. The fourth quarter sales were approximately 2.6% lower than the third quarter sales. The corrugated board sales volume decreased by 2,000 tons. The external sales volume of containerboard decreased by 6,000 tons. This led to a volume effect of minus 3.4 million euro. The price effect of minus 4.1 million euro is the result of approximately 2% lower average corrugated board prices and 4% lower average containerboard prices. We continue on page 13 with the quarter EBITDA and EBITDA margin development. The EBITDA of the fourth quarter of 2019 amounted to a 60 million euro after 42 million euro EBITDA in the third quarter and 54 million in the second quarter. The increase in EBITDA is primarily related to the scheduled annual maintenance shutdown of the combined heat and power plant and the scheduled maintenance shutdowns of the PM2 in the third quarter. Additionally, we recognize certain energy-related refunds in the fourth quarter that support our fourth quarter results. Besides these effects, the higher capacity utilization in the fourth quarter and a stable gross margin supported the good operational performance. Compared to the prior year, exceptionally favorable market conditions, our margins have normalized in the course of 2019. Therefore, the lower EBITDA is within our expectations. The cumulative EBITDA of 2019 was 223 million euro after 275 million in 2018. The EBITDA margin reached 29% in the fourth quarter and 25.2% in the full year 2019. Despite the lower figures compared to 2018, the fourth quarter and cumulative EBITDA margin of 2019 remained on an excellent level above major industry peers. On page 14, you can see the long-term EBITDA margin development on a quarterly basis. The EBITDA margin in the fourth quarter of 29% was well above the five-year average of 23.8%. As said before, the fourth quarter results are positively impacted by energy-related refunds and income. Compared to the EBITDA margin of the fourth quarter of prior years, the achieved result in 2019 is also at the upper end of the range. In the long run, we delivered a very stable operating performance with very attractive margins. On the free cash flow development on page 15 shows a decrease in the fourth quarter of 2019 compared to the fourth quarter of 2018 and compared to the free cash flow of the third quarter of 2019. The operating cash flow exceeded 55 million euro in the fourth quarter. This represents a decrease of approximately 5 million euro compared to the operating cash flow of the fourth quarter of 2018. The cash outflow from investing activities increased considerably to approximately 94 million euro. This is especially related to the CapEx spending for our strategic value accretive expansion projects PW13 and PM3. This development is within our expectations and is directly linked to our long-term and successful greenfield strategy. In the fourth quarter, the relatively high cash outflow from investing activities was covered to a significant amount by the strong operating cash flow. However, the resulting free cash flow was negative with minus 39 million euro. The cumulative free cash flow for the financial year 2019 was minus 93.7 million euro. This is the result of the operating cash flow of 209.3 million euro, which was 12 million euro higher than in the previous year, and the cumulative cash outflows for investing activities of slightly above 300 million euro. On page 16, we have the EBITDA to free cash flow waterfall for 2019. The EBITDA was 223.2 million euro. The current provisions decreased by 6 million euro. Lower trade working capital had an impact of plus 36 million euro. The cash flow from changes in other assets and liabilities amounted to minus 12.7 million euro. We paid income taxes in an amount of 29.7 million euro. And the most important element of the waterfall were the 304.5 million euro of CapEx spending for our value-accretive growth projects. As a result, the free cash flow for the full year 2019 amounted to minus 93.7 million euro. On page 70, you can see the development of the net financial debt and net leverage of ProGroup. In the fourth quarter of 2019, the net financial debt figure increased by 46.5 million euro. The increase was driven by the negative free cash flow and resulted in a decrease of cash on hand and bank balances. The increase in net financial debt and the decrease of the last 12 months EBITDA increased the net leverage from 2.6 at 30th September to 3 at the year-end 2019. The net leverage is therefore within our long-term net leverage target corridor of 2.5 to 3. As a consequence of our value accretive expansion project and the related CapEx spending over the following 1.5 to 2 years, the net leverage will be temporarily above the long-term target range. However, we keep our mid-term goal to return to the net leverage target corridor. Once the strategic expansion projects are ramped up, they will contribute to the intended deleverage in the mid-term. The next page gives a deeper view on the financial debt and the finance costs. Compared to 31st December 2018, the financial debt increased mainly due to the higher amount of drawn bank facilities. This increase exceeded the increased amount of cash on hand and bank balances. The increase in drawn bank facilities resulted from the drawing of the existing GDP facility in the course of the second quarter of 2019 and the drawing of several CapEx facilities related to the CM3 project. The scheduled repayment of the Zloty facilities were also included in the drawn bank facilities at the 31st December of 2019. The amount of undrawn committed bank facilities decreased following the above-mentioned drawings. These facilities are related to the expansion projects. Included in this figure are CapEx facilities in an amount of 105 million euro for the financing of the PM3 project and the next corrugated board project. 50 million euros are related to the undrawn revolving credit facility. The majority of 88% of the financial liabilities at the year end were denominated in euro, 9% in British pounds, and 3% in Polish zloty. Approximately 91% of the financial debt has fixed interest rates and 9% has variable interest rates. The average interest rate in 2019 was 3.2% versus 3.0% in the prior year. These figures also include commitment fees for undrawn facilities. On page 19, we show the quarterly development of the working capital. As at 31st December 2019, the working capital was significantly below the level as at 31st December of 2018. The decrease amounted to 36 million euro. Lower inventories of 10.3 million euro, 14.5 million euro lower accounts receivables, and 11.1 million euro higher trade payables contributed to the decrease of the working capital. The lower inventories are related to the lower value of our containerboard and recycled paper stocks. The decrease in accounts receivables is based on the decreased sales following the lower prices. Compared to the third quarter of 2019, the amount of working capital decreased by 8.1 million euro due to slightly lower inventories, lower trade receivables, which were partly offset by lower trade payables. In percentage of sales, the working capital remained unchanged at 15%. On page 21, we present the summary and outlook. We delivered again a very good operating performance in the fourth quarter of 2019. As expected, we experienced a continuing normalization of the sales prices for corrugated board. We expect that we will see some price reductions for corrugated board in the first quarter of 2020. The structural oversupply situation in the fourth quarter of 2019 put pressure on recycled paper prices. We expect that this situation will continue in the first quarter of 2020. As a consequence of these price developments, we expect that our gross margin will show a sideward development at the beginning of this year. The strong demand for recycled containerboard in the fourth quarter and also at the beginning of 2020 led to a tighter supply situation. Currently, it is rather difficult to purchase additional containerboard volumes in the market. Therefore, it is not surprising that several major containerboard producers announced price increases in the first quarter of 2020. However, such price increases will not have a major impact on our first quarter results. Our newest corrugated board project, PW13 in Germany, continued the extended trial production in January. We expect that the plant will commence commercial operations in the course of the first quarter of 2020. The paper machine project, PM3, is progressing according to plan. On the upper picture of the right-hand side, you can see the progress of the PM3 project. On the lower picture, you can see the almost completed PW13 corrugated board plant. We already started the preparations for the next corrugated board production site, PW14. The plant will be located next to our existing corrugated board production site, PW7, in Poland. We expect this project to commence operations in the course of 2021. To summarize the results of 2019 and the outlook for 2020, I would emphasize that we delivered another very good result, not on the level of the exceptional previous year, but the 2019 result was still the second best in PROCUBE's history. For 2020, we see signs of recovery of the overall market conditions. The announced price increases for containerboard and the strong demand at the beginning of the year are indicators for that. Also, the low recycled paper prices will support a stable margin development. Risks may arise from the additional containerboard capacity that will enter the market. However, all machines will have a ramp-up so that only a portion of the capacity will actually enter the market in 2020. Depending on the development of the European overseas demand, the additional supply will be absorbed by the increasing demand. However, this outlook is based on the assumption that the coronavirus will not have a major impact on the European economy. In a scenario of an economic downturn as a consequence of the coronavirus, our industry would also be impacted as growth rates are related to the overall economic situation. We are now at the end of our presentation, and I will invite you to ask any questions you might have after that, and we're happy to answer them.
Thank you. If you would like to ask a question, please press star one on your telephone keypad, or if you're streaming the call online, please click on the flag button to raise your question. Our first question comes from Markus Schmitt from ODDO. Please go ahead, Markus.
Mats, I have a couple of questions, if you may. The first one is on PW13. I think that is in ramp-up now. How long does it normally take to ramp up a facility to, let's say, 90% of operational capacity?
It depends a little bit on the market situation. The PW13 is located in Germany, in the eastern part of Germany, which also good access to Polish customers. Normally it takes, say, two to three years to fill the capacity. Normally, we start such a plant with two shifts, and then it takes a couple of months before we enter the third shift. At the moment, we are running the plant with also with two shifts, but already plan to establish a third shift in the course of 2020, rather towards the end of the second quarter, which means that after the summer break, we have already three shifts ready for operation. In plants like this, we have also the possibility to have a fourth shift, which adds additional capacity, but this is not planned for this year. Currently, we utilize the available capacity of this plant quite well because we had a promising start in 2020 with good demand from Germany, but also from Eastern European markets, which was also covered by the additional capacity through the PW13 plant.
Okay. And then a little bit more on CapEx. So I think it was said initially that you wanted to invest 375 million in PM3, and then you added, I think, 40 million for this water circulation system for a total of about 415. But on the website it says the total cost is 465. I'm not sure if this is a matter of illustration, what is included or not included, but I'm wondering if there are any cost overruns or if you opted for adding additional features which drove up the total cost. Because I understood that construction is going quite well and as planned.
I mean, the 375 is a rather older figure, which we originally discussed a range of 375 to 400, which excluded the wastewater treatment system and certain features we added in the course of the project. In total, besides these wastewater treatment system, we added additional components, especially to reduce the energy consumption in an amount of 60 to 70 million euro. So if you add these figures together, you end up with a net capex of the 465 million euro approximately. So this is the current estimate for the project. And as you just mentioned, yeah, we're making good progress. We are within our time schedule, and so we are looking forward to start the paper machine in the third quarter.
Okay. And could you give a bit more detail on the new PW14? I think the capacity is about 130,000 tons, and I think construction starts more or less now, and production start is planned for mid 2021, as I understood in the press and on your website, and the budget is about 45 million, I would guess. But I'm asking also because on page 18 of the presentation, you said a new project will cost 75 million if you refer here to PW14, and therefore the capacity of the plant is maybe more than 130,000. I'm not sure. Maybe you could
explain. Yeah, we also upsized this project. I mean, the first ideas was to start with a rather smaller corrugator. The latest figures are, as you just mentioned, the approximately CapEx spending for this project will be 70 to 75 million euro. And the capacity of such a plant will be around 200,000 tons, like similar to PW12. We are currently in the phase to get the building permit. We haven't got it yet. Depending on the result of this, the plan is to start up the corrugator in the second half of 2021. So it's rather in the mid of the second half. I don't think that there will be a lot of capacity coming from PW14 in 2021. Rather than the capacity will be available from 2022 onwards. But this depends on the final decision of the building permit.
Okay, thank you. And so when you have finally ramped up your paper and corrugate capacity to, I think, 1.9 million and 2 million tons, you have actually doubled about your capacity, while some other competitors are also adding a bit of capacity in the market. At the same time, I see that containerboard volumes are becoming more flattish, which is a little bit contradiction to what you said, because you said demand is very strong there right now. But I think e-commerce is still growing strongly, and now it depends a little bit how the rest of the economy is doing with that latest events. So I try to understand what the price effect on corrugated board could be when you and others try to sell the new volumes. So my question is, what is your expectation for how much of price erosion could the additional volumes account for? So maybe we have a comment here on this.
I mean, yes, there are several machines announced and are in the currently in the phase of building them. For this year, we have had already the startup of the Burgo paper machine. We are still project is still not running at the moment, but as I read in the news, is they are making progress on the also on the permission to do so. So it's likely that they will also start in the course of this year. And of course, Hamburger and us will start in the second half. But all of these additional capacities will not start with the full capacity. But all of them have a ramp up, and most projects have also troubles at the beginning to produce really high-quality products. So the impact for this year, I guess, will be really limited. And depending on the demand scenario, which significantly changed over the last couple of days, I mean, we still don't know what happens to the overall economic situation. Will this coronavirus harm the international trade flows, or will it just be a small negative impact on the overall growth? This depends. This will decide what the demand will look like. Until last week, I would have said, okay, we had a really good start into 2020. We have a robust demand. We are now still short in container board. As you know, this is why we are building the PM3. And to cover the demand we have for our corrugated board operations, it's really difficult at the moment to get additional volumes in the market, which is an indicator that the market is quite tight. So it is, given all that, there might be some kind of market balance at the moment with the chance to increase also the prices, but we don't know exactly what will be the impact from the additional capacities, because we don't know how the demand side will develop, especially with these uncertainties from this virus scenario. But without such a, without the coronavirus and the also good demand from outside Europe, we would have seen also the chance that the additional capacities would have been absorbed by the additional demand from Europe and export markets.
Okay. Okay, thank you. And just quickly, last question. Could you tell what the average maturity is of your credit lines without the RCF, and if you would try to convert this into longer maturities because of the coronavirus and maybe more difficult credit markets going forward?
I mean, all of our facilities are long-term facilities. I mean, we have a small amount which has a only a five-year tenor, but the majority of our facilities are 10 years facilities, and they have a quite long. They're still running quite long, so we have no. We don't see a need to adopt our financing structure based on the current situation.
And all committed, as you said, right?
Yeah, they're all committed. Yeah.
Okay, great. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Our next question comes from Giles Haworth from JP Morgan. Please go ahead, Giles.
Hello there. I've got a few questions. One would be, are you able to give a bit more explicit guidance on what the CapEx level is going to be for 2020? And just to sort of give us a sense on the leverage, in which year are you expecting leverage to peak? And then, you know, how long do you foresee reaching, but maybe by which year do you foresee reaching the top end of your long-term target? That'd be my first question, but I've got a couple more.
Yeah. The CapEx level is for 2020 will be approximately in the same area we had the CapEx spending in 2019 to finalize the PM3 projects, and if we continue as expected with PW14. In terms of the net leverage, I mean, the peak will be depending on the development of our EBITDA. I mean, if you split it into these two components, I mean, the cross debt is expected to be quite similar to what you see currently on our balance sheet. In a normal scenario, I mean, that means that there is no major impact of the virus on the overall economy, so no breakdown like in 2009 with the Lehman crisis or something like that. So it's they only moderate impact, no major disturbance on the overall situation. Then I would say we could could continue with the gross debt basically on the same level we have at the moment. So what we will see, we will spend most of our cash on hand, which increases the net debt to a certain level. And then it depends on if you look at the net leverage, what will be the EBITDA for 2020. I mean, the base scenario was that we will see a further reduction from what we have seen last year. But the year has started not bad so far. So yes, we should expect a reduction, but not too dramatic low we haven't seen before. So it will be rather to move towards to the lower end of our EBITDA margin range, but not below that.
Which means that
we will see the peak probably towards the end of this year, maybe at the beginning or first half of 2021. And then it will take, depending on the ramp-up and the market situation, probably 2 years before, maybe three from then onwards, before we will be again within our target range.
Okay, thanks very much. That's very clear. In terms of your longer-term thinking on investment, yeah, is it fair to say that PM14 and PM3 are the last major capacity expansions you have planned for this sort of round of investment and levering up?
I mean, what we're doing, we have no further plans for another paper machine. It will take some time to fill to use the capacity we add with the new paper machine. On the corrugated side, we are also thinking about additional capacities after PW14, but not more than one corrugated board plant per year. And of course, we will have a close view on our net leverage. We know that we increase our leverage at the moment, and we have to look thoroughly what will be our leverage before we decide on another corrugator. There will be additional capacity expansion on the corrugated side, but these projects have a capex in a range between 50 and 75 million euro, so nothing which is so exceptional given our current level of depreciation. But we will decide on that once we've ramped up the PM3 and see how our market is developing and our gross debt and net debt is developing before we present another project.
Okay, that's very clear. Thank you very much. And then, yeah, the other area I was wondering on was on your sort of your financing of this CapEx. I was looking, so it appears that you've pre-funded some of the PM14 with your increased committed facility, but it doesn't look like quite enough. Can you sort of explain perhaps a little, how you're thinking about financing the committed CapEx, and are you simply doing, get to a point where you fund and then you enter the committed phase, as it were, of the CapEx? Or are you just doing ad hoc bit by bit? It seems like you've got a lot to spend and not a huge amount of committed facility at the moment.
I mean, we have a lot of cash on hand as well. I mean, we had a significant amount of cash on hand at the year end. And from our perspective, we are fully financed for the PM3 and also PW14.
Okay.
So we don't see that this is... this year short of financing capability and capacities.
Okay, and in the committed facilities line in your presentation, I'm assuming that includes the RCF?
Yes, the RCF is 50 million, and this is included in the undrawn and committed facilities, and 105 million euro are related to the PM. To the rest of the PM3 and PW14.
Okay, and the maturity on the RCF, and Bloomberg showing it as being only April of 21, is that correct? That seems quite
no,
short.
No, not correct. It's 2023.
Okay, brilliant. No, thank you very much. I'll give others a chance to ask some questions. Many thanks.
Thank you.
Next question comes from Saul Casadio from M&G. Please go ahead, Saul.
Yeah, hello. Hi, thanks for taking my questions. I have a couple. The first one is on your Q4 EBITDA performance, which was, I'd say, exceptionally good given the market. So you achieved a margin that was even higher than in Q1 and Q2. So the question is there anything, let's say, not operating in those numbers and something exceptional we should take into account?
I mean, there was nothing exceptional in this case, in this sense, but as I said before, it includes a certain amount of energy-related refunds, which we only recognize at year-end. So if you compare, for example, the Q4 result with the Q3 or Q2 result, it includes, say, €6 to 7 million of items which only occur at the year-end or in the fourth quarter. So if you want to do a like-for-like analysis, you should deduct the €6 to 7 million from the Q4 EBITDA or add it to the Q2, however you like.
Okay. But if I want to compare Q4 with Q4, would that still be €6 to 7 million difference in a year-on-year comparison?
No, in a year-on-year comparison, we have these effects on all Q4s. So the basic item is the grid refund. If we achieve a certain amount of energy consumption, we don't exceed a certain level of the maximum grid consumption at one period of time, you get a significant refund in terms of the grid fees. And we know this for sure at the year-end if we fulfill this criteria, and therefore we recognize this item at our paper machines in the fourth quarter or in December. But this is normally the case in every year. So if you compare Q4 2019 with Q4 2018, you'd have nothing to exclude in this year's figure.
Okay. And the second one is on your working capital performance, which was also particularly good. I was wondering whether it's all kind of an organic performance or there's some help coming from supply chain financing, factoring, other financing tools related to working capital.
Can you please explain the beginning of the question? I couldn't understand that.
Yeah, sorry. I'm using my mobile phone, so sorry, the line is not great. I was referring to your working capital performance, which was particularly good this year. And I was wondering whether that performance is entirely organic or there's some help coming from factoring and other supply chain financing.
This is pure organic. We haven't changed our procedures there. What we have seen, if you look, say, 18 or 24 months backwards, you will see that we have been in a range of, say, 14%-15% working capital as a percentage of sales, and we are now back in that range. We saw this increase in 2018 and at the beginning of 2019 with the higher price levels, which increased our working capital. And with the lower price levels, we are now back where we have been in the past. But this is pure organic, and there's no factoring or reverse factoring or something like this.
Okay. And if I can squeeze like two follow-up from previous questions just to clarify, the first one is on your FY20 margin outlook. You guided for stable margins, but when I look at the EBITDA margin performance in 2019 by quarter, it was where the trough was 19% and the peak of, I forgot, 29%, I guess. So what kind of margin are you referring to?
I've referred to the margin at the beginning, let's say the first 1 or 2 months in terms of our gross margin compared to the Q4 where we have come from. But if you do this comparison, you have to exclude these energy refunds from the Q4 results. So the margin I've been talking about was the cross margin between our sales price and the purchasing price for recycled paper, which is the most important price margin we have to if you look at our profitability from a market perspective.
Okay, and the last one, you in your answer to a previous question, you guided for gross debt to stay at similar levels, but when I look at the cash flow for next year, assuming that EBITDA might fall below the 200 million line, 300 million of CapEx, I would expect that to increase. So I just want to understand how you square that with your guidance.
I mean, it's not an EBITDA level of below 200 million euro is nothing out of the range. But even with a figure in this area, we still don't see the need for a significant increase of the cross debt. Given our cash on hand and the expected operating cash flow, we see a good chance to cover the required cash outflows and without increasing the cross debt. So I don't think that this is the other way around. I think it's still a good assumption to keep more or less the cross debt level in the same area where we are now.
Okay, understood. Thank you very much.
Our next question comes from Bartek Paswa from Schroders. Please go ahead, Bartek.
Hi, most questions were answered. I just wanted to ask you to kind of confirm, didn't fully catch your answer. There was a question about your peak leverage. What sort of level were you expecting and when is that to happen, please?
I mean, the questions would be what happens with EBITDA.
Sure.
As I said before, I mean, if you assume, say, more or less the same cross debt and deduct some minimum cash of, say, maybe 10 to 15 million euro, you will end up with some kind of net debt in a range of 840 to 860 million, something like this. And then the question will be, okay, how deep goes the expected reduction of EBITDA? If you assume, say, 200 million euro, it will be something of 4.2 or 4.3. If you assume a lower EBITDA, it goes above that. If you assume it can maintain an EBITDA level, which was similar to last year, it's slightly below that. So the question will be, okay, what is the assumption on the EBITDA? And this will basically determine what will be the net leverage at the end of 2020.
Okay, fair enough. Yeah, thank you. That's that. Yeah, thanks.
The next question is from Theo Lazarte from Marathon. Please go ahead, Theo.
My first question is, you talked a little bit about capacity, but it's just to get a sense of how much of the capacity increase would it be coming in 2020?
I mean, if you add all machines and say they all of them have a ramp up curve, I would say that the factual capacity which would hit the European market this year will be something in a range of maybe 800,000 to 1 million tons. But it's still difficult to assume how all the other machines will ramp up, and also the question how faster the ramp up of our own paper machine. But if we assume a figure like this, this is not so unusual to in normal market scenario if you have a growth of 2 to 3% in demand to absorb a significant amount of this additional capacity from European countries. And if we had some additional demand from outside Europe, this additional capacity could be absorbed.
Okay. When you talk about demand outside of Europe, is that to Asia? Or where would you see this external demand coming from?
Yes, especially Asia. I mean, we see additional, or we've seen additional demand, especially from China over the last months. And this demand increased. I mean, we have not a lot of container board to sell at the moment, but of course we are talking about also the situation in the second half. And we also we are in discussions with also potential purchasers from outside Europe, especially also from China. But at the moment, it's too early for us to sign contracts because we don't know exactly how our own paper machine will ramp up. But we still see demand from especially China. We will see what happens now in the current situation, but in the past months, we have seen several request from Asia for volume for 2020.
Okay, and then when you talk about your capex rate, I think you were saying before in the call that the guidance remains roughly 300 million for 2020.
Yeah.
So I mean, obviously there's a lot of macro uncertainty right now. If we go into a greater downturn, do you have the capacity to cut that capex for 2020? Do you have some flexibility there, or is that 300 million committed now for the rest of the year?
I mean, most of this capex is required to finalize the PM3. So the flexibility for 2020 reduces to a possible delay or to postpone the PW14 projects and to some smaller capex projects we have. We want to do it this year, but I would say the majority of this figure is already committed. What we could do is to postpone additional capex spendings in 2021 and later.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and I think you were saying, correct me if I'm mistaken, but the guidance for in terms of capex for 2021, I think you were saying something like 75 million. Did I understand that correctly?
I mean, the 75 million is the capex we need, say, for a bigger corrugated board project. And then this, if you assume one project per year and have some maintenance capex in a range of, say, maybe 15 million, then you are in a range which can be assumed, but this is not committed yet.
Okay, so you've yet to decide whether you would go ahead and spend that 75 million in 2021 then, right?
Exactly. I mean, if you see a significant adverse scenario in the next months, we can postpone the next project. I mean, we can also postpone PW14. We haven't started yet to build the plant. We are still in the phase to get the final permission. This can be delayed, but we are currently... We have a strong demand from Poland, in fact, so what we need is additional capacity to supply the request from our customers. So it makes a lot of sense to build this plant, but if you see a real downturn scenario, we can react on that.
Okay, and so just to be clear, in a worst-case scenario, you'd be able to cut your capex to roughly the maintenance figure, which is about 50 million in 2021.
Exactly.
Is that correct?
Yeah.
Okay, and just the last one for me, just regarding my earlier question on the supply in 2020, specifically for Pro Group, then, given how much capacity you're bringing on stream, how much does your supply increase in percentage terms in 2020? Capacity.
The capacity in our PM3 has a capacity of 750,000 tons if it's fully ramped up and for a full year. But you don't start with full capacity, and we don't have the full year. So we will started the machine in the probably in the course of the third quarter. So no, I don't expect any paper sales this year and in the third quarter. So we run it only for one quarter, this paper, which can be used for corrugated board production. So we have only one fourth of the full year capacity, and we don't start with full capacity. So our impact will be probably less than 200,000 tons this year.
Okay, thank you.
As a reminder, for any further questions, please press star one on your telephone keypad now or click the flag icon if you're listening to the call online. So we've had a few further questions registered. The next one comes from Andras Carman from Credit Suisse. Please go ahead, Andras.
Yeah, thank you for taking my questions. Most of them were answered. Maybe just one on the coronavirus situation. So, because you mentioned that the beginning of the year started with healthy demand, but do you see any changing patterns in the last week, anything in terms of orders, etc.?
I mean, the last week was also holidays in many of our markets, so we still had a good order intake, which was slightly below the previous week's order intakes, but not exceptionally lower. So up until now, we don't see any major impact from this virus on our business. But we don't know what brings the future, but until the end of February, we haven't had a major impact on our operations.
Thank you. And just going back on deleveraging, so did I understand it correctly that you would expect getting back to your target range in sort of if under a normal conditions in over the next couple of like 2-3 years?
Exactly, yes.
So would that be like 2022-23?
Yeah, it depends on how good the market will be in 2022, but 23 should be possible to be back within our target range, and then it goes quite quickly also to the lower end of the range.
Okay, thank you.
Next question comes from Giles Hoare from JP. Please go ahead, Giles.
Hello again. So is there any chance you'd be able to give me a breakdown of your end markets, what proportion goes into non-cyclical end markets of perhaps food or consumer non-cyclical type customers, and what proportion would go to the more industrial, more cyclical side? I realize that you don't, you know, some of what you sell goes through distributors, but can you give any guide there?
I mean, we have no own statistics on where our corrugated sheets go to the end application because we sell it to our customers. We do the packaging for all types of businesses. But given our size in the markets we operate, we are normally directly linked to the overall economic situation in each market. Countries like, for example, Czech Republic, they have a higher exposure to the automotive industry, or Poland to the furniture industry. So it's more the industry structure in the certain area where we operate that determines demand. So we have a quite high share in our business in our markets that we operate, and therefore we supply more or less to the same industry the country has itself. So we haven't have our own statistics on that, but we don't see it. Significant exposure to a certain industry as a group. So it's
okay.
Basically spread through all industries in the countries we operate.
Okay, fair enough. You mentioned the word credit crisis earlier. I realize the business has changed a lot since then, but can you explain a little, you know, how did the business perform during that kind of 2007 to 2011, say, period? How big was the drop in sales, and how long did it take for them to recover?
I mean, it's a long time ago. I mean, and in the crisis itself, the situation of the company was completely different from the current situation. We, at that time, we had a expansion program, which was significantly higher compared to the size at that time, with the expansion of the PM2. And at the same time, we built, but not we, but one of our contracting partner built also a power plant, and also a PW7 corrugator was ramped up in 2009 in Poland. So if you add all these CapEx, which was spent in 2008 and 9 for these three projects, you end up with a figure of 700 million euro. Of course, not all of them was on balance, but from the P&L side, we had to finance all of these CapEx at that time. And this was combined with the situation that the market dropped significantly as a consequence of the crisis. So the company was in a massive expansion phase and the demand dropped. So it took 2 to 3 years.
If we just talk perhaps about the level of demand then, how much did the demand drop?
I mean,
that's
the demand,
way to look at it.
The demand dropped in 2009, similar to the development of the economy. So we had a drop of, say, 6 or 7%, something like this.
Okay.
And then it recovered more or less, similar to the economic development. So our end market is very highly correlated to the overall economic development. So there are no major decreases like 20% in a year. This is not, it's hard to imagine. And on the other side, we have no growth rates like above 10%. This is also not imaginable. So our market develops slowly but steadily with a positive growth rate close to the GDP growth.
Okay, brilliant. That's very helpful. Thank you very much.
The next question comes from Elena Goes from Alcentra. Please go ahead, Elena.
Hello. I just have one question regarding the continuing sales price normalization. Could you give any color on the sale price points that we're seeing now versus last year?
The sales price on the corrugated side follows the container board prices because 70% of the sales price in corrugated board is container board. So there's a very strong correlation. So we have seen the last container board price reductions in Q4, which will impact the sales price of corrugated board in Q1. But from the margin perspective, we have also lower recycled paper prices. So the lower sales price will be more or less covered by lower raw material costs. And now we have the situation that all major containerboard producers announced price increases for March. And at the moment, it looks at least a portion of the announced price increases will go through. So if this will be established in March, it will turn the price erosion and would lead with a time lag, say 2 to 3 months, to also increasing corrugated board prices.
Okay, thank you.
At this time, we do not have any further questions registered.
So, then thank a lot that you participated in our call and the interesting questions you had this afternoon. I would like to thank you and wish you a pleasant weekend, and looking forward to have you on the call on our Q1 results at the end of May. So thank you and bye-bye.